The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Everybody, and season's greetings. This is Fred Brack reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 10 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now it's time to crack the cover on a brand new issue of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. This one for December 2020. Aren't we glad this year is coming to an end? The theme this month is Handmade Holiday, plus 10 local galleries for one-of-a-kind gifts. I'm going to begin, as we always do, with the From Elizabeth column entitled Christmas Continues this month. The recipe wasn't a secret. It was the first printed on the side of the silver and brown Hershey's unsweetened cocoa container in the 1960s, back when the container was made of tin and you had to push a spoon or the edge of a butter knife up under the lip of the lid to pop it off. My gosh, I remember that. You could never really wipe off the dusting of cocoa powder that settled around the top of the container. And the metal lid was always rusted, so maybe that's why Hershey's changed to a plastic container. But I don't have the answer for why they removed the fudge recipe. I worry that there'll be a generation of people who'll never know what that old-fashioned homemade fudge was like. Crumbly, crackly, melt-in-your-mouth texture like a buttermint, but with a firmness to it, too, different from anything you can buy in the store or even in a specialty fudge shop. I knew it was officially Christmas time when my grandmother cleared off the table on her back porch to set out sheet pans full of fudge to cool before she cut them into cubed pieces. She made pounds of this fudge at Christmas time for us to eat and to give as gifts, wrapping it up in festive tins that she bought at Eagle's Five and Dime. We never had it any other time but during the holidays. Despite the minimal ingredients, no sweetened condensed milk or chocolate chips or nuts or marshmallows, my grandmother claimed that this fudge was notoriously difficult to make, finicky, and exacting. And in her lifetime, she probably threw away as many batches as she'd made due to the fudge crystallizing or not setting up properly. You have to have a cold day, she insists. No humidity. Bring cocoa, sugar, and milk to a boil. Do not stir. Make sure it passes the softball test by dropping a pinch of fudge into a bowl of cold water. Add butter and vanilla and let the mixture cool in the pot and then beat the daylights out of it, always with a wooden spoon, until it loses its glossy sheen before turning it out onto a pan. Eventually, after years of watching my grandmother make that candy, noticing techniques that can't be written down, my mother took up the mantle at our house, following the precise instructions, waiting for a cold day, using a wooden spoon, cooling the fudge in pans, wrapping it all up on festive plastic plates, and carrying forth a tradition that meant so much in our family. I remember the smell of rich chocolate boiling on the stove. The whole house would smell of chocolate all day. And if I closed my eyes, I could easily be transported back to my grandmother's kitchen, too. Those sweet smells and sounds, the burble of chocolate in the pot, the slap of the spoon, the crinkle of wax paper, connecting the years as if no time had passed at all. When Christmas gets closer and the temperature drops and my mom pulls out the ingredients for this year's batch, I'll be there with her, observing, watching, memorizing techniques that can't be written down. And when it's time, a transfer of the wooden spoon, a handed-down recipe, my own search for just the right plates, I'll be ready, keeping that link between then and now going. And now, as I always do on the first reading of each month, I would like to interpret the photo essay for you, The Little Town That Glows. Every December, residents of McAddenville string up thousands of twinkling lights, transforming their Gaston County village into Christmas Town, USA. Written by Katie St. Singh. Double spread here under the title. Residents work hard to decorate their community in the weeks leading up to December 1. Dazzling displays like the homes on Church Street last year are their gift to North Carolina. This is a nice photo because it appears, and I don't know that this is true, that the front of every house is yellow. Now, maybe it's just because of the lights, and maybe they're all white houses, for instance, but the lights are making them all appear yellow. The one closest to us has a full balcony along the front and at the second level and has some flags hanging out. I can't quite read what it says. I think it says joy, and there's a picture of an angel or something underneath on the red flag. And there's people standing in the street taking pictures and having somebody's getting photographed in front of an archway filled with lights in front of this particular house. And all the bushes in front of the house are lit up. Now, it's not a very wide house, so we didn't have too much work to do, but there's a lot of lights there. And they also run up all the columns, the white columns on the porch, the second level, and all around the top of the first level. And then at the second level, they don't do the front of the balcony itself, but they do the swirlies around the posts that hold up the roof above that. And then as you go down the street, you can see all of the houses down there have the trees, which are not the evergreens up against the house. There's not a whole lot of them. All done up in lights, and lights up the stairway on the handrails, and all going up the columns in a front porch and maybe around the top of that. And more people are in line, and you can see about a half a dozen houses in the distance there against a really, really dark blue sky. Overleaf now tangles and twinkles. Long before 500,000 bulbs light up with the flip of a switch, before cars line up for miles to catch a glimpse of the dazzling displays around town, before the rest of the state has even thought of decking any halls, McAddenville has been preparing for Christmas. Beginning in August each year, Tim Gibson and his small crew spend 6 weeks untangling skeins of lights and replacing burnt-out bulbs. They might chat or listen to the radio as they unwind wires, but when it's time to wrap the lights around trees and bushes, more than 200 of them, they work in quiet concentration. For a single tree, weigh a strong gust of wind can shake them free. Their job, part of a tradition more than 65 years strong, is to make sure every inch of this wonderland sparkles. And I see we have this particular odd problem of the the CD repeating on the first track, and I think I just found the button to push to make that stop. But I like this song, so I'm going to let it play again. This is from the Mannheim Steamroller concert at Christmas. So we have down here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 in the picture, fairly tall evergreens that are just completely decked in lights along a berm at the edge of a waterway in town. And there's a fountain in the middle, and it's lit up, and all of the lights are reflected in the water. So it's particularly spectacular. It says the displays might be smaller this year, but Tim Gibson will work to make the town look perfect. The trees around the lake won't be lit, but this view remains one of McAdenville's most iconic. So, we've kind of captured this here, but you can't go there to see it. That's a shame because it's particularly nice. We do see the crew out stringing lights. Somebody's up there in a cherry picker, I guess. He's up at the top, and he's tossed a strings of lights down, and Tim's down the bottom there holding the lights and trying to get them all lined up. And then there's a close-up of all a myriad of lights that have to be untangled. Merry Milltown. In 1954, McAdenville was a community knit together by and around Farr Yarns. That's P-H-A-R-R. One day, Harvey Dick Roberts, then a 19-year-old fixer at the mill, found himself talking with three co-workers about how they could help the town look a little more festive for Christmas. The group found some old metal rods, which they bent and welded to spell Merry Christmas. They wrapped the letters in white lights and set them up on a hill, then hung some stars from the mill tower and strung up a few more lights. It wasn't much, but William Farr, co-founder of the company, liked what he saw. "Fellas," he told the men, "I'll pay for all that you put up." True to his word, the mill covered the cost of the lights in town. Still does. And Christmastown, USA, was born. And it says, Christmastown is a community-wide effort. Residents like Kelly Pittman spend months, sometimes the whole year, planning their decorations. She's here decorating a live tree on her porch. And to the left, there's a gentleman who's gone up a ladder to the second level on the house. Actually, the ladder is extended from a rooftop to a second rooftop here, a little bit dangerous, I think. And he's hauling some more lights up on the top of the house. In the spirit, for Farr, who was deeply committed to the community around the mill, the lights are a fitting legacy. Boy, this thing just doesn't want to play, does it? I don't know what's going on over here. We're going to try to manually push it forward. I wish I had studied these buttons beforehand to try to figure out why it doesn't want to play. But I'll manually move them along if I have to give us a little Christmas music in the background. In the spirit, Farr, who was deeply committed to the community around the mill, the lights are a fitting legacy. Mr. Farr always wanted to do whatever he could to make people's lives better, Robert says. Plus, Farr and his wife, Catherine, loved Christmas. After the lights started attracting out-of-town visitors, the couple would stand out on their porch and watch the cars go by. From the beginning, Farr decided that the lights would not be commercialized. They were a gift for families to enjoy together. To this day, the experience remains free, including the hot chocolate and cookies passed out in McAdenville Baptist Church's coffee house. And Catherine, Roberts explains, is responsible for the town's classic holiday look. As the tradition grew, Mrs. Farr requested only true Christmas colors, red, green, and white. The captions here says, last year, Callis Egolf and Todd Dickerson trimmed their home like a giant tree with ornaments of all sizes. And on the left, here's a man standing on the front steps, and he's passing up these giant balls that are like at least 3 feet around to somebody on the second level. So they're like giant red and green ornaments. They've already got nutcrackers on either side of the doors and three wreaths with nutcrackers inside on the door itself. There's a whole mess of nutcrackers against the green background above the door. And they have decorated all around the front porch. Over here, there's a picture of the men. And the final finished product from a distance, all these gigantic balls, is, oh, probably 15 or 20 of them in different shapes and colors, but mostly red and green, all around the front of the house, and a lot more stuff decorated on the lawn. Porch perfect. Within a few years, residents started decorating their porches, too. That's what sets McAddenville apart, Robert says. No one ever asked the homeowners to decorate, but most everybody participated and everybody enjoyed it. In the decades since, the town has welcomed new neighbors, many of whom moved to McAddenville because they want to live in Christmastown, says Ashley Westmoreland, a Gaston County native. She remembers when the decorations on homes were relatively simple, like front doors wrapped to resemble Christmas presents. Now inflatables and other larger-than-life decorations spill out into the front yards. Many neighbors try to add new items each Christmas, making each year bolder and brighter than the last. But that magical feeling that Farr worked to create has remained a constant. Christmas has always been a big deal here, Westmoreland says, and it just keeps getting bigger. Photo? Bobby Garn's decorations always include perennial classics like garlands and a pine tree strung with 4,000 lights, as well as something new and different every year. She loves celebrating Christmas in McAddenville. I think Hallmark should do a movie here sometime. And here she is stringing up some garland, which has lots of colored balls on it, around her front deck railing. And once again, it wants to stop on me. I have to keep pushing this forward manually. Christmastown 5K. The atmosphere is already festive on the Saturday after Thanksgiving when the Woman's Club holds its annual 5K. This year it'll be a virtual run. In the days beforehand, the club delivers jingle bells to residents to encourage them to cheer on runners, many of whom arrive dressed up for the post-trance costume contest. The 5K started in 2012 to raise money for the club's various causes around town, including college scholarships. 100% of everything we do goes back into this soil, Westmoreland says. As the club's vice president, she sees firsthand how eager McAddenville residents are to help each other, not only around the holidays. It's almost like the Christmas spirit in this town fills us up all year round. Even a downpour last year couldn't dampen the spirits of costumed runners in the Christmastown 5K, pictured here. Before the rain, McAddenville's Elementary's Wildcat mascot made the rounds. And so we see the back of somebody in a bright red shirt with a picture of Santa Claus on his back, and here's a runner all dressed up in a Christmas tree outfit with her head peeking out just under the star. And two of the three runners are dressed up here as elves, perhaps, as they come running down the wet street. And a little girl is looking up at the town mascot, and she has that Christmas joy right all over her face. Season's greetings. In its early years, Christmas in McAddenville was mostly a local attraction, with a few exceptions. Dick Roberts recalls that in the 1960s, a group of New Yorkers would charter a plane to come see the lights each year. Then in 1980, Charles Kuralt shined a national spotlight in McAddenville, and people started traveling in from all over. Nowadays, the little town of about 800 welcomes 600,000 visitors each year. Cars displaying tags from every state have driven through. In recent years, McAddenville has become more walkable, and a handful of restaurants and other businesses stay open late to show visitors a little Christmas town hospitality. Say hi to Santa and catch some other sweet scenes around Christmas Town. Even Belle the dog was feeling festive last year. So here is a bright red Santa mail post office box of sorts. It says North Pole Express Mail for letters to Santa. And then we have a dog with Christmas lights for a collar. A close-up of a nutcracker. And, of course, we have to have Santa giving us a wave. And a close-up of a Christmas ornament. And a little girl reaching in to touch one of the bulbs on a Christmas tree. We have a tree lighting ceremony here. All of McAdenville's hard work. The tree trimming and garland hanging and all the rest leads right up to the beginning of December. Most years, that's when Christmastown USA opens with a flourish. One lucky child gets to flip the switch that lights up the town for a delighted crowd. At the same moment, the McAdenville Elementary Chorus starts singing, "Here Comes Santa Claus," and as if by magic, the big man in red is already on his way. The horses that pull his sleigh clip-clopping down the street. The components of the ceremony remain the same, but the enchantment never wanes. And although beloved traditions like the tree lighting ceremony and the Yule log parade have been canceled this year, residents of McAdenville are already looking ahead when gathering together will be all the sweeter. So we have the little girl here about to flip the switch, and then we have a whole chorus of people standing and singing. And there's a close-up of the little girl. That is one gigantic switch. It's made of bare metal and has huge wires coming up, and I'll bet there's not a drop of electricity in it, or somebody would be in deep trouble, I must say. And then we have overleaf the Yule Log Parade. There's at least one holiday tradition in McAdenville that's even older than the lights. In the late 1940s, William and Catherine Farr visited England, where they attended a Yule Log celebration and brought the idea home with them. Since 1950, children have pulled a Yule log through the town on a special sled, grabbing hold of the long rope handles wherever they can. "It's not your typical parade," says Roxanne Rankin, who grew up in McAdenville and serves on the Christmastown Committee. "Anyone who wants to can join. When the parade reaches its destinations, the log is burned with great fanfare." For many years, Farr himself lit the Yule log. Now his grandson, Bill Karstarfen, presides over the ceremony. But a different family in town has chosen to light the log each year. Though the details have changed, Rankin says the tradition is there. Every generation has their own memory of it. And we have a band coming through town. It says, "Each year, children pull the Yule log through town on a special sled, escorted by marching bands like the one from Gastonia's Ashbrook High School, and anyone else who wants to join. The parade route ends at Legacy Park, where the log is burned." And we have a picture of the Yule log here. It's on a red sled. And now we have a picture of the place where it's being burned in a great big brick fireplace. It's off. The red cart is empty, and people are standing in front. They look like they're warming their hands in front of the roaring fire. And then we have the gift of light. This looks like that picture that I talked about earlier, taken in the town. I think this might be that first home. It says, "Part of what makes Christmastown so special is that McAdenville is a real community. It's not Disney World," says Stephen Rankin, who's run the Christmastown USA website since 1996. "We're a real community with real homes and real people who live here, which means that out of respect for the residents, the town's lights don't stay on all night. This year, they'll click off at 10 p.m. sharp. But for the people who live in town, the extra traffic is worth it to see all the happy people come through. So every year they give of their time and money to make their homes look special. That, Rankin believes, is true Christmas spirit. They do it because they want to do it," he says. "All they get out of it is the pleasure of giving at Christmas time. And here's a close-up of that house with all the lights all over the bushes in front of the brick front of the house and all the way up the railings and going up the posts that hold up the second level and all up there. And we see those flags that I talked about earlier. And then over Leaf, we have Comfort and Joy. Soon after Stan McDowell and his wife Karen arrived in McVadenville in the spring of 2009, they came to feel that their move to the tight-knit town had been a blessing. That July, their son Mark, an Air Force pilot, was killed in a plane crash in Afghanistan. As the McDowells mourned, their new neighbors surrounded them with love and support. McAdenville is like one big family, Stan says. Life in Christmastown quickly drew them in. It's a whole month of a joyful, lovely time, and you never want it to end, he says. Before Karen passed away in 2018, the couple would spend all year thinking of new and different ways to decorate. After replicating a sign they saw on a trip, the McDowells earned their house a nickname, the Merry Christmas House. About 3 years ago, they added a life-size sleigh when Santa's not sitting in it. Stan has seen people get engaged there. The McDowells, who love entertaining together, would invite visitors into their yard and sometimes even into their house. I just like walking out my front door and seeing crowds of people and everyone's having a fun time, Stan says. He keeps adding to his decorations because he wants to help those people make a memory. Something to tell your kids about, he says, something special that goes on from generation to generation. Picture of all the kids sitting in the sled here getting photographed. And we're going to get ready to wrap up here. It says, still shining. Dick Roberts, the last living member of the group that put up the very first lights, represents the third generation of his family to work at the mill in McAdenville. Thanks to stories passed down from his father and grandfather, he can recite the town's history with a practiced ease. It was, he says, the first community in North Carolina to have indoor plumbing, a telephone, and fortuitously, electric light. Tradition holds that in the 1880s, Thomas Edison himself installed a generator to power the lights in what was then known as McAdden Mills. Word spread and curious spectators came from miles around. People walked from Charlotte and Lincolnton to see that light burning in a bottle, Robert says. They didn't understand it. More than 100 years on, the crowds still come and the lights of McAddenville still inspire wonder. This is a close-up of the front of a house that has a train track surrounding a little ice rink where I suppose they have little figures that maybe skate on the surface of the ice, or at least it looks like an ice rink. Well, my friends, we have run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine, and I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.